this country.
Certainly, and it's also an exciting time to be a Canadian soccer fan, right? I think we can see what's going on here. I'm sure you guys at your games, when you interact with fans, there's more excitement around the game at the moment now, right, Jordan?
Absolutely. This is the time. I feel like, 36 years since we've qualified. And, I'm 31 at the end of this month. Like, I've never experienced a time in Canada where soccer was, at the forefront. Everyone was bought in, and I'm looking forward to this World Cup. I'm just looking forward to the next generation. Canada, we know we have talent, but now we have an outlet, and now it's our time, for sure.
Canada's always been a soccer country, right? Just hasn't had that, maybe that thing to for everybody to rally around.
Soccer's definitely cooler now, though. I wasn't too proud telling everyone in elementary school I was a soccer player. I was lying to them and telling I was a hockey player, but now I see all these kids with loads of confidence, and they're bragging about how they're a soccer player, so it's awesome to see, and I wish I was growing up in this time. Maybe been a bit cooler in high school.
I'm sure you were cool enough in high school. Just on the pitch in the Canadian Premier League, you guys who have seen the game in other countries, especially Denmark, what's different about the way the sport is maybe played here versus other levels of the game you've experienced?
I feel like Kyle would probably agree with me, but I don't know, we've never really talked about this, but I just feel like we're so athletic in North America. Even in MLS, CPL, it's just go, 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 speed, strength. I would say specifically in Denmark, where I stood out like a sore thumb because everyone was just so technical. Maybe not the most, they weren't the strongest or the fastest, or they didn't even like contact. They were just very technical. Everyone knew where they needed to be. Everyone knew how they wanted to play. Every team had a system. You had to fit into the system to play. I would say here, in Canada and CPL specifically, you can still express yourself, but it's just really athletic. I would love to hear what Kyle had to say about that. But
yeah, I think for a long time our DNA or our identity was based on athleticism versus what we're kind of doing technically or tactically. I think something that's really changing in this country is just the standard of coaching from a young age. And if kids can be in those environments where we're learning those tactics and being and having that onus on a technical side of the game, then we're going to have all of that combination that's just going to grow and get better and better. And I think we're seeing it in players like Richie Larea, Kyle Aaron, Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, all these guys who are playing with the national team and exceeding at the highest level. It's fantastic because they have that in their DNA. And we're also now getting that other side of it, I think, missing for a long period of time. And I think it starts with that something as simple as coaching from a very young age. And we're all just a part of this ecosystem that's growing. And we talked about it being a very exciting time in Canada and how much this game is growing. And it takes something like that side of the game, to have a huge impact on the next generation.
Yeah, coaching is a big part of it too, not just at kind of the grassroots level, but even now there's, 8 professional head coaching jobs that didn't exist 5 years ago, right? When you guys look at players all the time who come to the CPL talk about how much more tactical than they expected it to be, how quality the coaches in this league are. Is that something you guys work with, obviously, Bobby Smyrniotis and Martin Nash, who are just really, really intelligent football minds. What's that like, kind of working with these guys day in and day out? Maybe we'll start over here with Nico.
Tactically with me,
stop the ball.
Yeah, no, listen, I have a lot of respect for Bobby. He's obviously done a lot in the league. I've worked with Martin Nash as well as Tommy Wheeldon Jr. Again, I've gone up against those coaches. I've played with those coaches. They're obviously very intelligent, tactical. I'm gonna let the two midfielders talk about that.
Nash is a mastermind. He definitely is one of those guys who watch footy and see it differently. And the beautiful part about playing soccer is that you're always learning and you're always getting better. Even the brief conversations I had with Bobby, you can see that he's just a mastermind as well. And just to get Forge always has talented players, to get them all on the same wavelength and playing a certain brand, and they have an identity that's commendable. Nash is that guy as well. It's just I think with his first season, just getting everyone on the same page. It's beautiful because I have my own thoughts about the game, but that could be different from a coach, and then just trying to find a middle ground and just continue learning. Even when I retire, when I'm done playing, it's just something where you're always trying to get the best out of someone or pick someone's brain or just kind of iron sharpens iron. So it's one of those things where I'm constantly picking other people's brain and just trying to get the best.
Yeah, I think if you look across the league, you can look at every single team and pick out a specific identity that their coach wants to play with, or a simple philosophy. And that's very unique. It's exciting. I think it makes for a different challenge every single game, which is great. Obviously, I like what we're doing at our club. I believe in the system we're asked to play. And it's interesting just seeing how these coaches want to put their stamp on the game and think they're going to get the best out of their group.
You know, Bobby in particular has, you know, worked in the organizations of some of the best tactical clubs in the world, right? Olympiacos, Ajax, places like that. What is he like to work with? You've obviously known him for a long time, Kyle.
Oh, he's incredibly demanding, very detail-oriented. I think he's a little bit of a guru at times. Sometimes we joke, call him a philosopher, but he definitely has a way of playing, and he wants the ball, and he wants to kind of kill teams with possession. But obviously, he's very attack-minded. He hates when we give up goals. I think he's been a little more angry this year, considering we've been bleeding them more than usual. But it's I think he's someone that demands a lot from his group. He demands a lot from his coaching staff, but he leads by example, and he never asks anyone to do something that he's not going to be the first one to do. So it's a good guy to work with.
Nico, as a goalkeeper who has to face some of the attacking talent in this league, what's that like for you? Is it a fun challenge to play against good players?
For sure, definitely a fun challenge. And the league has seen some deadly strikers, but normally those guys that have a lot of success, they move on. Wuro Diaz this year for me was the best number nine that I faced, just his movement in the box and stuff like that. But when he goes on and gets a move to Europe, I'm not surprised. But yeah, it's a fun challenge, and every single year there's new players coming in. But I really enjoy the consistent group that's been there from, you know, year one, right? So when I'm battling against a guy like Becker, or even guys at Cavs that I was maybe teamless with, those OG guys that were here from the start of the league, I don't take advantage of those moments, because I think playing in those moments and competing against these kind of players is very much a privilege, but enjoying it. And this league is a lot of fun.
You know, people ask a lot, like, how does the CPL compare to something like MLS or things like that? All of you guys have played for CPL teams against MLS teams in the Canadian Championship. Kyle, you've obviously played in MLS. Maybe we'll start with Jordan. You guys played the Whitecaps this year. You played TFC last year. How big a gap is there? Because we've seen CPL players go and do well in MLS. Obviously, Joel Waterman, yeah. Lucas McNaughton, players like that. What's the gap?
I don't think the gap's that huge. I just feel like when you play an MLS team, it's not just your best 11 against their best 11. It's actually squad against squad. So when you're looking at 23, or for them, it's 30 guys, they just have more quality. So if you look at the actual game when you're playing, I don't think the level is that big. I don't think it's that large, but that could be the competitor in me speaking as well. I could be so biased, but I don't think it's that large.
Kyle, you guys have had some, as Forge, you've had some very, very close matchups with MLS teams. You know, took TFC to penalties this year, took Montreal to penalties last year. Not to you know, rub salt in it, but as somebody who's played at both levels, like, what do you see as kind of the difference?
I think it's tough to compare like for like. The identity of both leagues is completely different. The goal of the MLS is different than the goal of the CPL, and I think there's beauty in both. When you go like for like with Canadian talent, I think that we have a lot of young, exciting kids who can absolutely go and reach a higher level than where they're at, which is fantastic. When you have a game that's sort of a knockout football match, you're always going to have that little bit that makes it a little bit more special, and you never know what can happen in 90 minutes. And I think throughout our 4 years in the CPL, you've seen some fantastic results from teams playing against MLS teams, which just shows you the standard that's in this league. It's exciting. I think it is tough to compare the two just based on something as simple as budget, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we don't have any designated players in the CPL. But I think we only have a couple more minutes here, but just maybe we'll talk about the future of the CPL and how we can kind of continue to grow. We can maybe go around with all three of you guys here and just maybe give me where you think the CPL can go, what the growth might look like over the next, you know, 5-10 years of this league.
I think it's definitely going to propel after this World Cup, and then obviously we're hosting in 2026, and that'll be kind of the make or break. I don't want to say make or break year, but it'll be really fascinating, and everyone's going to be seeing what happens after that. You know, Do we use a springboard of hosting a World Cup to really propel soccer in this country?
That's what happened with MLS in 94, right?
Exactly. So that's what we're all hoping for. And I think that's very much the plan that's put in place from all the owners, the league, all that. But again, up until then, year by year, making sure the trajectory is going up, even if it's not as steep as we want it to, but continue improving the league and growing slowly. And again, I think, just like you said, MLS in 1994, no reason why the CPL can't do that.
I think in the next decade, you're seeing a few more teams, a few more franchises. Definitely academy, so you have young kids training and having the philosophy of the first team. Because that's always something beautiful and special, is when you have an 8-year-old looking at a Becker or a Nico or myself being like, hey, I want to be on the first team. And then they train the same way, they train at the same facility. I could see that in the near future. Now, it's being patient as well. I remember when the MLS started, like, it took a while for the wheels to really turn. That could be a decade. But it's just that we're moving forward, even if it's at a snail's pace at times. Just finding a way to move forward, because there's definitely a need for soccer in this country, and there's definitely so much talent here.
Yeah, I think a big thing is patience, but continuing to do the right things. Continue to have that onus of that young Canadian talent coming through, trying to push them through the next level. Stay with that. I think something that is massive would be a push to just create a little bit more infrastructure. If the teams throughout the league can have state-of-the-art facilities, obviously that's easier said than done. These things don't just grow on trees, but if you can have those fundamental pieces around clubs, I think we'll see an immediate growth in the quality throughout the players.
I think we're just about out of time here, but just before we wrap up, I'm going to put you guys on the spot very quickly, since we're here to celebrate Canadian soccer, and as we're joined by plenty of national team players. How's Canada doing at the World Cup? Nico?
I think we're going to get out.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'll probably win, draw, and that'll be enough.
Win and a draw.
Win, draw, beat, last one.
Beat Morocco, draw.
I don't care who we beat. We're going to beat a team.
Jordan, you agree?
We can definitely make it out of the group, for sure. I was a bit, watching Canada play Uruguay, I was like, you know what, that's the test that we needed. Maybe just to humble us a little bit, but I feel like with the nation behind them and the talent that we have within that squad, I don't see why not. I don't see why we couldn't get out of the group. And that for me is a success. Winning games, scoring goals, that's a success. Because 36 years ago, well, we scored one goal, we didn't even win a game.
We didn't score any goals.
Look at that. So anything's better than what we've done before, for sure.
I'm hopeful we're getting out. I think with this group, they're so exciting. They're the underdogs in any game they're going to be playing in. But they're a close-knit group with a ton of potential, and I think they're going to surprise some people.
All right. Again, from York United, Nico Giantsopoulos and Jordan Wilson, and Kyle Becker of Forge FC, thank you guys so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you.